want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Tuesday, Brevard County. If you didn't get everything accomplished yesterday, guess what? It's still there for you today. New challenges, new opportunities, and we're praying that my mouth will work better today than it did yesterday. So praise the Lord for that. We do want to say welcome to the Refresh Radio broadcast. I'm Bob Arthurs from Merit Assembly of God, and we want to say thank you to WMIE 91.5 FM. For the offering this week, the goal of the radio station is to raise $30,000. They'll be mentioning that from Monday through Friday. So Monday's already in the books. So you've got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. If the radio station's been a blessing to you, why don't you just sow a seed of appreciation to the radio station? And unlike yesterday, today I do have the phone number. It is 632-1000. Yesterday I was guessing at it, and it took me a while to confirm it. But 632-1000, if the Refresh Radio broadcast has been a blessing to you, why don't you call that number and make a donation to the radio station and let them know how much you appreciate them bringing Christian radio to Brevard County. And if you happen to be blessed by the Refresh program, mention that. It would be greatly appreciated. We always enjoy hearing feedback, whether it's positive or otherwise. So today I want to also say thanks to Advanced Christian Training School, 633-0432. They have a free video Bible school that meets in our fellowship hall Tuesday nights from 6 to 9 p.m., and so you can still get in on that. If you got any questions, call Ted or Linda, 633-0432. Let's get into the Word of God today. We're going to go back into the life of Paul. We're in Acts, the 26th chapter, the 15th verse. Acts 26, 15. He said, "So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me." So right now we are doing a teaching on deliverance from the Word of God, because in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus said, "Deliver us from evil, deliver us from evil." And we've already talked a little bit specifically about that particular passage, but we're doing a more broad discussion on what deliverance is. And it's not just deliverance from something, but it's deliverance to something. And that's what Jesus said to Paul here on the road to Damascus. He said, "I have appeared to you for this purpose." I'm sitting around and I'm looking in the radio station here, and there's all sorts of flashing lights and machines that I don't know what they are. I don't know what they do. Some of them I do, some of them I don't. But I do know this, that originally they weren't here in this building. They were manufactured someplace for a purpose. And in order for them to bring this live radio signal to you, they had to be delivered to the radio station. They had to be delivered to this particular studio. They had to be delivered and connected to everything else that was necessary in order for everything to function properly. And God has a purpose for you, and he has a purpose for me. one of the real challenges when it comes to discussing purposes, there's a couple of them. So let me talk about one first. And that is, a lot of times we think that everybody's purpose is going to be the same as our purpose. And, you know, quite honestly, that there's not the need for all of the same equipment. I'm sitting here, I'm looking at red buttons, but I'm also looking at yellow buttons. I'm looking at flashing green lights. I'm looking at meters, and I'm looking at timers. Thank God that there were a lot of different things. And so, you know, there are people that come from a wide variety of backgrounds, and Jesus has a purpose, a gospel purpose for each and every one of them to hear, but he may utilize us in a purpose that is different than what somebody else might. So we think that everybody's purpose has got to be exactly like our purpose. I am so thankful that God has different churches here in Brevard County, because there's a great gospel that is preached in Bible preaching churches, but people's personalities may respond better to one person than they would to another purpose or to another person. If you like someone who is only serious and has no sense of humor, I've got news for you. You would be miserable at Merit Assembly of God, because I'm going to preach the truth of God's word, but I'm also going to allow the joy of the Lord to flow. And you know, I have a great time in life. I really do. Life is enjoyable to me. In spite of all of my flaws, you know, I'll poke fun at myself. You're not going to, you know, did you know that you cannot injure a person who's dead? I mean, you can do different types of damage to the body, but they're not going to feel it. And because of the fact that I'm supposed to be dead in Christ, I'm not supposed to be going around feeling wounded and offended and victimized all of the time. Now, I achieve greater levels of that at some times than I do others, but so I need to recognize what a great work that God has done. So Paul was told, I have a purpose for you. The other challenge that we see many times is that people limit their purpose to just what they are naturally gifted at. And I believe that God is able to equip you and I for a supernatural purpose that exceeds our personality. It exceeds our training. It exceeds our background. I'm just so thankful. I've got a friend of mine, and his life goal was to be a missionary, but God called him to be a pastor, a very gifted pastor, empowers pastors. But you know what he does? He is extremely gifted in the area of missions fundraising. And so even though he's been to mission fields, he's never served as a missionary, but he's raised literally millions and millions of dollars to fund missions on the field. And his son ended up being a missionary. So even though he thought his purpose was going to fall in one area, it ended up being that God utilized him and his supernatural giftings far beyond what he could have accomplished just if he had been a missionary on one field. He instead has helped equip missionaries on virtually every continent on the planet. So one more point about the fact that God's purposes may look a little differently in each of our lives is, eventually what came to be recognized by the church was that Paul was going to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and that they were going to take the gospel to the Jews. And so there's a different audience that people have. And so I thank God. Thank God for the Bible preaching churches, because you know what? We are not in competition. Say it with me. We're not in competition with one another. We are in cooperation with one another. Our competition is the kingdom of darkness, not the body of Christ. So he says here in 16 to Paul, I have appeared to you for this purpose, and it says to make you a minister and a witness. So Paul's divine encounter was getting ready to make Paul something he was not on his own. You see, he was an oppressor before this. And Jesus said, I have appeared to you right now, and I'm going to make you a minister. Minister is a big fancy word for servant. Minister is not an occupation as much as it is a lifestyle where we serve God and we serve others. What did Jesus said? He said, I came to seek and to save the lost. I came not to be served, but to serve. And you and I, there's a consumerism mindset in the Church of America that is a plague, that says, if I don't like what's going on at this church, I will just pack up my toys and go to the church down the street. And like I said, there, thank God for lots of different churches, but what happens a lot of times is people move from one offense and they move to another location, and there's another offense waiting for them there. They move to another location and there's another offense waiting there, and they never grow in victory over the ability to be offended. Somebody posted on Facebook here a couple of weeks ago on a minister's page that I belong to, and said, you know, it's always interesting to see, you know, pastor appreciation comments coming from people who used to be in my congregation. And, you know, when I read that, I thought of an old country song, at least I think it was a country song. Have you left the one you left me for? You know, and you know, unfortunately, what I've seen a lot of times is people come in and they don't ever allow God to mature them beyond what can that person do for me, and developing that mindset of how can I serve you? How can I serve you? You know, to be honest with you, I'm after your heart. On this radio broadcast, I'm after your heart, that the words that I speak, that they will equip you in your, you know, the reality is I'm probably never going to see most of your faces. I'm not here after your face. I'm certainly not here after your finances. I'm after your heart, because God wants to make you and equip you and mature all of us as servants in the kingdom of God. Jesus said it quite simply this way: if you desire to be great in the kingdom, you have to be a servant. The world operates to where the higher you are, the more people serve you. The kingdom of God operates exactly differently, and that is the higher you go, the more the heart of a servant you have got to have. I heard Israel Houghton in an interview, and he said, you know, the higher my profile becomes, the more intentional I have to be about seeking God's face and staying humble and maintaining the heart of a servant. You know, at my church, I do hold a lot of authority there. I'm the pastor. I'm the chairman of the board. I'm the ex officio member of every committee, even the women's ministry. I could be a part of that if I have that responsibility. Everything that goes on, I try to be informed or aware of, and I'm there not as one who lords over in authority, but as a servant who serves with authority. And so if you come to our church, you will typically find that on Sunday morning that my vehicle is parked in the farthest away parking spot. And I do that on purpose. Now, I will tell you, when we first came to the church, we parked in a different spot. When we came, there was our family and there was six other people. And so there was a time when we had one vehicle, there was a time when we had two vehicles. And what we would do is, because the church was so small, that we would move all of the vehicles around to the front of the church so that people would know that the church had people in it. I mean, when you've only got six people and some of those people are walking, there was two families that walked to church. And so there were only two, three, or four vehicles that were representing. Our first week we had six. Our next week we had five. The next week we had four. And I told God after that third week, I said, God, at this current rate, we are in 4 weeks, it's just going to be my wife and kids, and I'm not sure how long they'll stick around. So you need to do something and turn this around. Well, I want you to know God has blessed the church, where before we were serving the church by moving our vehicles around to the front so that people would know that the church was there. Now people come to the church and I take the farthest parking spot away so that all of the visitors and those who may have mobility challenges can have closer parking spots. And so now on we have really made it a goal to create a mindset of service in the congregation. In fact, we have three goals, and that is to love, to serve, and to grow. Those are our three, actually you'd probably call those vision steps. Is we want to love people, we want to love God, love people. We want to serve God and serve people and serve the church and serve the community, and we want to grow. We want to grow in our spiritual walk. We want to grow in wisdom. We want to grow physically. We want to grow financially. We want to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. We want, those are our three things. So we've now created that mindset in the congregation, and there are some Sundays when there are so many people parking away from the front of the building that there's lots and lots of available parking spots available up there, to where people are once again coming around and saying, hey, is there anybody in there? And, you know, honestly, we're not the largest church in town. We're this year currently averaging about 50 to 55, depending on the given Sunday. And if everybody was there at one time, we would be in the 120 to 150 range. We just got a lot of different people that come, but they come at different times. So every once in a while, now if I notice that the congregation has moved all of their vehicles in the back, I'll go and I'll get my vehicle and I'll move it around to the front just so that people will know, hey, the church is open and there's a parking lot that we didn't know that existed. And so that's what we do. It's everything is about service. Jesus told Paul, I have appeared to you to make you a servant. I have appeared to you to make you a servant. When you were at church on Sunday, did you come away with a heart to serve that was larger than it was before you walked in the door? Because Jesus wants all of us to be. If Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, how important is it for you and I to develop a servant's heart as well? I have a commentary, and in that commentary, this guy quotes another person and says, the Christian army is the only army in the world where you come in a general and you leave it a private. You come in having been in control of your own life, and you realize the more that you're in this walk, that really all you are is a servant of the Most High God. Jesus said, Paul, I've come to make you a servant, and I've also come to make you a witness. I want to tell you that at Merit Assembly of God this month, we are presenting our congregation and saying, is there someone that you can pray with or that you can begin to pray about this week that does not know Jesus? And then there's the second one, and that is, would you pray this week that God would give you a strategy or an act of kindness that you could show to that person, and you could begin to build relationships? So we identify the person we're praying for, and the second is we are asking God for a strategy. And then the third week is, God, would you give us boldness to go ahead and step out and demonstrate and follow up on that act that you have birthed in our heart, that this person will experience the love of Jesus. So some people think that witness, they immediately begin to identify the aspect of witnessing, of knocking on doors, of just going around and talking to people about Jesus. Can I tell you that witnessing, that being a witness, is more than the words that you say? It is a condition of being. I have come to make you a minister and a witness. Actually, in the Greek, that word is linked with martyrdom. It is linked with martyrdom. He says, I've come to make you a minister and a martyr, if you will. Some people said, whoa, I'm just not comfortable talking to strangers about Jesus. That's okay. It's not about who you are. It's about what can God make you to be. I've told you on this broadcast before that I am by nature a very quiet person. But then God got a hold of me. God brought me out of my shell. And now there are times where my wife can't get me to shut up. And you know, I'm not there to beat people over the head with the gospel. I'm not trying to browbeat them or anything like that. What I'm trying to do is show them that Jesus has given me a better quality of life, a better lifestyle than I could have ever experienced with anything that the world has to offer me. So I witness with my words. I believe it was Francis of Assisi said, witness often, use words when necessary, something along that line. We tend to think of witness as just in what we say. But I want you to know that it's a lot more than that. To be made a witness, we've got to realize that the purpose that God has for us is worth more to me than life itself. That means I've got to still be willing to die to self. Yes, Christians, in 2015, we still have to die to self. I came out of a meeting one time. I'd done a lot of work, a lot of preparation. I came out of that meeting, and everything that I had planned, this goes back a long, long time, over 20 plus years ago, came out of that meeting, and it did not go as the way that I wanted it at all. It just was it was something else. And I came out of that meeting, and I wasn't experiencing the joy of the Lord at that point in time. I wasn't a happy camper. There's been a couple of times where meetings where I was promised a job, and right before that job came to be a reality, the company snatched up their job offer and said, "Oh, well, we're not going to let you be the manager. We'll just let you be a salesman. We're going to give someone who knows nothing about your particular area of expertise, we're going to give the job to him instead." And it was like, well, that. And so when I went back to my department, my employees looked at me and they said, well, something is the matter. My face was witnessing. It was testifying that meeting had not gone well. Well, back to this other meeting, I came out of that meeting and I wasn't a happy camper at that time. And I began to pray and said, God, you know, what just happened here? And it wasn't anything earth shattering. It's nothing that's got any bearing on eternity at all. But God spoke to me and he said, you know, Bob, I've got to kill your pride the same way that I strive to kill everyone else's pride. Your pride is just as offensive to me as anyone else's pride. Pride is something that God opposes, whether it's something outside the church or whether it's inside the church. I have known proud people outside the church, and I have known people of arrogance inside the church. And I want to be a humble person. I want to continue to be a promoter of humility, because it says that God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so the thing that I want to share with you is that God gives us this transformation of making us a witness, because it's that humility where we may not be comfortable doing something, but God equipped us to do it, and so we're going to accomplish it. There's a person that years ago told me this. He said, the reason that I am a Christian is because I watched all of the difficulties that you went through all of those years, and I saw that it wasn't just a philosophy for you. You really believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. That person got saved, got filled with the Spirit, got involved in ministry, and their world was rocked because of a lifestyle witness. Who do you have today that you are sharing the gospel with? Who do you have in your life today that you are living the gospel out? Because just like he did for Paul, Jesus wants you and I to be transformed by the grace of Jesus Christ to where we are servants of our community, servants of our church. What would our churches look like if everybody came to serve instead of to be served? And what if everybody went out and said, you know what? I am going to let my life shine as a witness to Jesus Christ and to this community of what the power of a forgiven life can do. Father, I just pray for everybody right now, Lord, that you would make us servants and you would make us witnesses. May our lives testify to the transforming grace of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Call in a pledge today, 632-1000. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.